So a statue of Shiva at the National Gallery of Australia has found itself wrapped up in controversy. Two investigative journalists in the US are claiming that they have evidence that the statue in our National Gallery was looted, and looted from a temple in India. Now, the gallery in Canberra paid $2 million for this, and they've got documents that show that it came from a reputable Washington collector. The journalists are saying these documents are forgeries. Michaela Boland is National Arts Writer for The Australian, has been following the story for close to a year. Michaela, how did this happen?
Wow. That's a very good question. I think it can happen. I think a lot of our collecting institutions at one time or other have found themselves in this situation. But it's not just one item we're talking about. There's a cloud over another 20 items at least in the National Gallery of Australia's collection. 21 items in total were bought from this collector, this dealer, Indian dealer called Supash Kapoor, who operated a gallery in New York for close to four decades. So he was fairly well established in the industry internationally. And, the director of the National Gallery of Australia, thought he was well enough established to buy 21, different items from him, spending millions and millions of dollars over about a decade or less.
Well, that's the thing. It was within a particular period of time, and these are not easy artifacts to get, from what I understand. And so the fact that the National Gallery of Australia was acquiring so many of them in a short period of time must have, and I understand did, raise some eyebrows.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, I've been speaking to a number of academics around the country over this time, and they've become very concerned. There's all sorts of stories, and I've been into that gallery myself inside the National Gallery at Canberra, and it's groaning with the most beautiful items, bronze such as the one we're talking about, stone, wood carvings from the subcontinent and beyond, from Afghanistan and also Indonesia, and then you see the dates that they were acquired, and so many times they were acquired during the last decade, so from 2000 through to to recent years. And in fact, there are international prohibitions in buying and selling and trading in these items that have been in place since 1970. So what these academics have been asking is, how is it that our national collecting institution has come to acquire so many of them so many years since those laws came into place?
Now, we are only at the stage of claim and counterclaim. We should stress that.
Yes,
so
yes,
you've definitely got journalists saying that they think these documents that document the authenticity and the integrity of the collector are forgeries, and they are asserting that this was looted, but the National Gallery of Australia rejects that. So we don't know. I just want to make that clear. But what would you put this down to, this sort of hyperactivity over that period of time, and questions perhaps not being asked that should have? I mean, is it naivety? Were they just genuinely duped by a really good scam, if that's indeed what it was? Like, how do you explain it?
I think it's a mixture of those things and ambition. I've been reading over the annual reports that were published in the early years of Ron Radford's tenure, and he identified when he arrived at the gallery in late 2004 that he could do a number of things, and that was building works. And we've seen them come online in the last few years, and they have been roundly praised. Generally, he wanted to enhance the Aboriginal collection because, of course, the Canberra National Gallery in Canberra should have the best Indigenous art collection in the country. He wanted to fill in the holes in the Australian collection, and he wanted to develop a respectable collection of artefacts from our near neighbours, because that's another thing he saw that he thought we could do in our region. So that's what he said about doing. And so there was ambition. There was also money. At that time, the National Gallery of Australia is the only gallery in the country that actually has an acquisition budget. So it receives money in its annual stipend to go out and buy things. All the other galleries need to rely on fundraising and donations. So The National Gallery matched its government funds with donated funds, and that was, you know, the build-up to the financial crisis. Of course, there was a fair bit of money sloshing around in Australia in the last decade, so he took advantage of that. Some very high-profile, wealthy individuals were on that Board of Trustees and still are on the Board of Trustees and are very generous donors. So that was taken advantage of. And, you know, in the early days of this investigation, when the gallery was still able to talk, some of their defences were that they are among, you know, a number of international galleries worldwide who have been who have dealt with this. With this individual, who is now, you know, as you say, being held in India while authorities established the case against him, so they were one of, you know, one of a number. So that's one thing. But also, they did ask the questions. They did check with the relevant agencies. But they also believed the documents that were offered to them. And the journalists that I'm working with in the US have sources who they are extremely confident. Who say that those documents have been forged.
I suppose all that comes out in the wash eventually, doesn't it? And it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes. I've got to say, Michaela, I'm getting text messages now. People are offering to sell me Shiva statues. I think I'll pass in the circumstances.
Yes,
quite
indeed.
An amazing story. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
No worries.
Michaela Bollard, National Arts Writer for The Australian, who's been following that story.